I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 164th edition of New Manners Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. My guest today is Isra Anan. Originally from Basra, Iraq, Isra and her family arrived in Maine in 2013 after spending some time in Syria and Turkey as refugees. Isra was a student for 4 years at Deering High School, where she learned English and participated in the Telling Room's Young Writers and Leaders program. In time, she found her voice. Today, she is a poet and a freshman at USM, studying human biology and linguistics. Welcome to New Manners Speak, Isra.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Kate, for this introduction.
So, Iraq has an important tradition of learning and sharing poetry. I wondered, Isra, if you can tell us about poetry in Iraqi culture today.
There are many ways that the Iraqi people can participate in poetry and poems. So in their daily life, they experience and they work with poetry as routine in their life. So the first way is for students to participate in a school. There is a class that they are required to take to learn the basic stuff about poetry, and they have to memorize the styles and everything about it. And like after the school, they go to places to share poems and to hear poems from different people. So it's like a way of life over there. Everyone participate in poems, everyone read and hear. So even when they talk in poems, like a rhythm or a poems way. So it's very, very well known over there.
I imagine that if you are just talking about something every day and you make a reference to a famous line in a poem, then everyone would know what you were talking about.
Exactly. Like, it's as I said, it's a way of life because everyone has that basic or it's rooted in them because the school taught them, street, parties when they go, wedding is very well known there, and it's like surrounded them.
Mm-hmm. So at a wedding, would there be a poet who is hired to come and to present that, or does everyone stand up and share a poem?
Sometimes that happens too, but other times it's like everyone who has the high school to do this, it's the first person who go there and share like a special poem for the wedding, because it depends on the time and the event. For example, if it's a wedding, they share a wedding poem like specifically and special for the people over there.
So weddings, cafes,
right?
Just time with friends, poems are a big part of your life,
right,
in Iraq.
Yes, exactly.
Do you think it's missing here? Do you notice, like, aren't we going to say a poem?
I don't think so, because even in school, I still learning about poems. Like in my home, I still listening to poems. I do write poems, so it's still in me. It's still surrounding me. I don't think I get like, because I lived with this. I grow up with this. It's like a way of living. So it still is with me everywhere I go.
That's a big part of who you are.
Right.
Yeah. So how old were you when you learned your first poem? When did you start that in school?
I think when I were in Iraq, as I told you before, like we start from the beginning in the school, we learn about poems, but I never thought about myself being writing poems and share. So I just take it as in school to pass the classes, I have to learn how to do poems. But the first time I came here and I went to the Telling Room, I learned how to do like poems in English. And so I start like feeling myself in it. The first time I wrote my poem, it was 3 years ago. I wrote a poem called I'm a Woman. It was very interesting that I found myself writing a poem in English, because it's not my first language. In the beginning was hard, but then I felt myself like really in it. I want to do it again and again. I want to share my poem. I want to write more. So it was amazing.
Do you write poems for friends?
I do sometimes, like everything I experience or I feel it from inside, I write about it. Like it doesn't matter what the experience, even if small or big, what I feel, I just write about it.
That makes for great poetry, right? It's alive in you. Do you remember what your first poem that you learned was about?
That was a long time ago. Yeah.
So were you little? I mean, does poetry start when you're in kindergarten?
Not in kindergarten. I think in middle school, like specifically in middle school, when you start understanding the words and the style of the poems, then you start learning about different poems from different, like, not even from like Arabic poets, but also from like the whole different Arabic world. And you start memorizing and understanding the styles, the word, the rhythm, everything about it, which make it really difficult because it's in Arabic, it's way, way difficult than here. The grammar is difficult, the style, the structure. That's why I also find myself more in the English like way when I write poems more than in Arabic because I feel myself like not ready yet to write in Arabic, like fully professional.
It's more complicated in Arabic.
Right, it's so complicated, yeah.
I think that's fascinating that you write in your second language.
I feel it's way easier to do this because I feel English has no limits to write, about poems where I feel myself very comfortable writing about it. Where in Arabic, you have to care about every single thing.
I see. Yeah, we wing it a little bit more. Is there anyone else in your family who appreciates poetry like you do?
I think most of my family, but especially my dad. Because he's one of the men who stand in the, like, in the cafe and share poems or, like, write sometimes poems. But he's more in the, like, free writing, writing books or novels. But he really appreciates poems. And that's, he always, like, recommended me to look for this poet or to read this book about poems. So he really care about this. Because it's also part of his life when he was back in Iraq. Because he learned this, like, he experienced more than I did.
And he was a journalist in Iraq?
Yes, especially in Basra.
Yes, and now he runs his own business.
Right, he has a restaurant.
Wonderful. In Westbrook.
Right.
Tell us the name of that restaurant.
It's called Top Kebab.
Top Kebab. I looked it up online. It looks like it has a really wide variety of things on the menu, not just kebabs.
Right.
You can get your French fries, too. Top Kebab and Fry. So, what does knowing poetry by heart do for you in a way that just studying poetry in a poems class might do?
I think first, before like even writing the poems, the words can change society, communities, and like culture. It really does. Like, for example, Dr. Martin Luther King, he has the famous speech, "I Have a Dream," which is not a poem, but it's a word that changed the whole society and the whole rhythm of America. Also, Maya Angelou, when she has her poem, Still I Rise. It's so amazing that we see words can change. It's like a way of fight for freedom and gain freedom. So I think to solve problems or to highlight problems, at least you have to say it by heart and you have to write it by heart so you can believe it. If you believe in it, it will come smooth and it will touch to other people. So I think poems is a way of highlighting problems then solving it. It's a way of fighting but without purpose, especially.
Yeah, so you have a shared vision.
Right.
You've all decided that you share these words, these ideas, and then you
exactly.
can say them to yourself and to each other.
Thank, yeah.
Have unity in that fight toward mm-hmm. justice.
Right.
You're a little social activist. And I would also ask you if you would be willing to recite for us one of your poems. You have a poem called Story of a Violin that you wrote and shared on the TEDx Dirigo conference.
Yeah, that's one
fall.
Of my favorite pieces.
Oh, good. So, this, when did you write this piece?
Last year, in August, I think, we start working. And from August until November, mm-hmm. then I share it on November 4th in the State Theory.
And For people who don't know about the Young Writers and Leaders Program, mm-hmm. it's a special program that's offered at the Telling Room for immigrants.
Right.
And they partner each individual who gets selected, and I guess there are a lot of applicants.
Right.
All these savvy winners of these slots get partnered with other writers and interesting people in mm-hmm. town who basically coach you
exactly.
through public speaking
exactly.
and writing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us who your mentor was?
My mentor was Adam Burke. He's the director of the TED Talk here in Maine. So we worked together for 8 weeks. Working on my poem called Ugly Song, which is basically highlighting the abusing from men to women by like physically, mentally, and emotionally by beating them. So we wrote this poem, and it was really like was really interesting and cool. We get really good feedback from the audience and the people. So after the show end and after the Telling Room end, he told me to do the TED Talk with them. And I was so happy to do that because I never thought about this opportunity to come in my life. And he really helped me. He has to take this credit for him and also for the Telling Room.
I think to arrive in the United States a few years ago and to already have done a TED Talk is a real sign of success.
I know.
You're on a fast path up.
So grateful.
So this one is called Story of a Violin mm-hmm. by Isra Anand.
Do you still remember when our eyes met at the same point? Do you still remember when our hearts touched it from far away? It's been a long time without the shine of seeing your eyes. I am wondering, do you still have the same feeling for me? You are remembering me, right? I am from your roots. I am from the sweet tamar and the tasty dolma. I am connecting from my palm to my top, from you. I know you. I speak what you speak. I speak your words. I dance on your words. I hear all of you. You are there. I'm here. I'm here for you. Whenever you feel hopeless, I am surrounded by your voice. I hope I will see you where our two souls were connected again, 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 and again. Oceans, countries, seas, every single separation that keeps me away from seeing you. I would break all these borders to be with you. Oh, my home. My motherland. You are as close as the blood in my veins. So close. How close. I can see you. I feel you are as close as I feel you are as close as my breath, but I can't see you. Am I in love with your ghost? Or you are my ghost? Oh, my lovely ghost. I will forget you only when the lyrics stop singing, when the birds stop flying, when the blood stopped running, when the violin stopped dancing, when yellow turned blue, and when the opposite became true, when the beautiful conversation won't be the same anymore, then I will forget you. Do you still remember when our eyes met at the same point? Do you still remember when our hearts touched it from far away? I was trying to forget you, but I forgot how to forget you. Isn't that weird? I bet it is. Steeply painful, terse. It breaks me into tiny, tiny, tiny pieces. I wasn't sure what to pick up from me, my tears or my heart pieces. In everyone's eye, I still see your sweet reflection. Your face still has the same smile. Look, I still remember many things about you. What about you? Do you still remember when our eyes met at the same point? Do you still remember when our hearts touched it from far away? Where are your holy promises? How could you break all the promises between you, me, and the whole country? Breaking, 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 and then disappeared. How could you leave me to deal with all the broken pieces of me? Give me a reason, give me a word, give me a hope. Thank you.
Isra, thank you. If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Isra Anand. She's a freshman at USM, and she's also a poet. Writing and performing spoken word pieces at local events, something that would be very unlikely had she stayed in Basra, Iraq. You say that you think in Arabic and you feel in English. Can you tell us about your approach to writing poetry? Are these topics always heavy emotional issues for you?
I always feel my words in Arabic, then transfer all the feelings into English, then write my poems. I especially like focus on these days or this year, I'm focusing on the topic that I'm really interested in, such as women rights or special women back in my country that need help with rising up. So I focus on the issue that matter to the whole world, matter to me, to my society, that I think it when itself it can make a big change. I'm also focusing on how we can like be ourselves. How can we like make like positive all around us?
You really are an activist, looking at the big issues and using your voice to raise awareness.
Trying to do.
So let's talk about women and girls. What are you seeing, and what would you like to see more of, having lived in both worlds?
I have a line of my poem called "I'm a female, and I know how females think. We don't need fancy things, jewelry, or cars. We're looking for a small thing of a huge thing called respect. And respect is always begins with when we respect ourselves. That's the first step. After that, we're gonna like focus on the big problem that we need to solve. For example, I came from a culture like it's a beautiful culture, but has you know. Always like the thing has a dark side sure. as the moon. So the bright side, I love it. But the dark side is a big problem in my country and especially in my culture in Basra. So we know that man has the power over women in everything. So back in my country, I need to change this. I'm not saying that we have to go over the limit, but I need to change how women need to rise up and speak up for themselves. The first step is to trust themselves, to believe in themselves. Then after that, I can like help them how by poems. I can share my feelings. I can share my experience and like help them how to stand up for themselves and fight for themselves. Like yesterday, I get a comment on my like TikTok. The one girl said, "I really want to be like one day in your place and do this." And I told her, "You can do that. Because I did it, you can do it. There's not a really huge difference between us. It's all about like how to like receive opportunities, how to raise your voice up." I came from a country and a family that is really strict with and rooted with the culture, so breaking all these limits is not easy at the first time. But because it was true, it was real. We need to do that. They accept it, and the whole culture has to. Because it's something that added to the, it's improving. It's like a big change. Sometimes the change can be bad, but this change is really good for the whole community, for the whole woman. And who knows what women can do when they are really like finally free.
In feminist philosophy, they say the personal is political. And it seems to me that your story is a very political story. You lived with ideas, but no real voice in Basra.
Mm-hmm.
A Muslim woman doesn't mean you can stand up in a coffee shop and recite your poetry. That's not going to happen.
There are many different ways that we can do it. Just as I did, I shared my poems with a small group, like in the Telegram, where we share our emotional and like true stories. Then from that, I start sharing my poems like in public, like in a respect place and the place that can respect me as a woman, as a Muslim, as a woman with a hijab, which is really a big thing here. Like I'm here in America where most of the people don't wear hijab, but back in my community, hijab is a common thing. Everyone wear it. So it's more like way of familiar over there to do that. But it's still, I'm still working on this. I think I can see like the change from now. Hopefully it's going to continue.
Did the person who commented on your Facebook, was she from Iraq?
I think she's Iraqi.
So you might already be changing people's minds. Like if they can see you doing it, then they know, oh my gosh, I can stand up in public
and it feels so great and so weird at the same time because I'm still young. I feel myself, but I have big, big ideas to do and to like at least try to change. Trying is also count.
Yes, yes. You've said that, and I like that idea that you might not be able to change everything in the whole world, but if you're moving in that direction, it's good.
Yes.
Yeah. So you've really lived in both worlds. What kinds of things did you have to adjust to as a more recent arrival into this Western culture? Was it hard to learn how to shake people's hands and things like that?
Yeah, I think that's one of the big things, because back in my culture, we don't shake hands with men, especially, because it's a way, like, we think it's a way of respect is not to shake hands. But here, when I came here, it's way different, and it's way the opposite thinking, and the opposite culture that I have to, adopt, and maybe just adjust to it. So when I came here, it was really, really difficult to adjust to this. And also the eye contact with the men, it was hard at the beginning. I used to look on the floor because I think this is kind of respect that I used to do back in my country. But here is the opposite. It's way the sign of respect that you look in the person's eye. Then I have to change all. I don't think I change it. Like I change my culture, I change myself. I think I'm just adapting to the world here. It's kind of respect, so I have to like respect the society that I am in.
Yes, I imagine that would be really hard. And maybe the older you are, the harder it is.
It is.
You know, I think of my practice of looking at people in the eyes, and if I were to move to another culture and weren't allowed to do that in order to be respectful, mm-hmm. I would adapt to that. But that would be hard to remember to do.
Right. It takes time in the beginning, but after like you told yourself that you have to do it for respect, it's going to get easy.
So shaking hands and looking at people in the eyes, is there anything else that was really different for you that you do here or expected to do here that you never would be expected to do there?
Talking a lot with men. Like I go to like a school which is boys and girls mixed. In my country, it's only for girls. Like there's this separate school for girls and separate school for boys.
In university?
Yes.
Oh.
No, like in high school and middle schools.
I see.
So when I went to high school over there, it was only for girls. So I used to talk to girls, not wear my hijab in the school because it's only for girls. But when I came here, I went to school as a freshman here in Jiring, where I have to work with boys. I have to be in team with boys and work with them, which was really difficult. I don't know how to deal with this stuff. I never experienced this, and it was hard. I think when I were working with the boys, I feel everyone looking at me in a weird, like, weird looking, which wasn't true. No one looked at me that way, but I imagine all the stuff because I never used to.
And how did you get over that? I mean, well, do you have brothers?
Yes, I do.
So you have some experience working with boys.
Yeah, they were my brother. That was, so it's okay. But like strange people, strange boy, it was not easy.
Especially American boys. Right. How different from your culture?
Way different. Like it's way, way, way different. So I have to adopt this by like working together, like trying to break all these shyness and break all this like... Because I cannot do well in the class if I did not do this. I told the teacher many times that I cannot work with the boys, but she said, you have to because this is the class, this is how the class work. Then the first time I just sit with them, not talking, not participating, not doing anything. Then I find myself failing in the class. After that, I said, no, my grades is really important then, that I have to work all this limit and be like participating with them, whatever is happening.
And then your parents must be aware that these changes are happening
right.
in their daughter's life. And what's that like as a parent? That was not the plan.
I think when they brought us here, they have to think about this. They have to count all, like, it will be some changing here. Because they already have that idea of how like the American society or how the American culture is work. Really. It's way different than the Iraqi culture. So I think they have the basic understanding of this. And when every time I come to them and I said, I looked into someone's eyes today, or I shake head, or I did this, they will say it's okay because they already have the idea. They just wait for me to tell them.
Wow. Yeah. It's amazing how much change a family must go through in a short time.
Mm-hmm.
Coming
exactly.
to such a different culture.
Yeah.
So you have the courage to speak up, and that doesn't just appear in people. Where do you get your courage to speak up and be a woman who looks men in the eyes and stands up in public and reads her poetry?
I think getting tired of seeing all the problems in my country while other girls in different countries has all the right and the support to do whatever they want, like with the limits. And we also have the opportunities. We have the chance to do whatever we want, but we cannot do it because we are women. And we are Muslim sometimes because of this. And we are shy to do this. I get tired of seeing all these women have sharing their stories and have sharing their experience, they're talented. But we also have the talented, but it's hidden. No one see it. No one can hear it. No one see it. So it's really wasting of the talent itself. So I start moving from that point. The first time I came here in the United States, I saw many opportunities. I saw like a land of a free. So I run and take up every opportunity that it gets to me, whatever it was, just to raise the voice first. Then everyone can see me, or the women especially can see me. Then take a big step forward their dreams.
Really sounds like it comes down to justice. You see other people are able to do this and you think, why not me?
Right.
Yeah. Isra, you mentioned to me that you alone can't necessarily change the way women are treated around the world, but your hope is to improve women's situation just by taking the opportunities that come your way to stand before audiences and be a young woman in a hijab who has a unique voice and the courage to share it. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I really enjoy it.
Wonderful. And thank you all for listening. Please join us each week for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. And if you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainersspeak.com and check out more related information at facebook.com/newmainersspeak. New Mainers Speak is also rebroadcast on Mondays at 4:30 p.m. on WERU-FM in Blue Hill and Bangor area. I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song that Isra has selected for us. Can you tell us about why you chose this song to wrap things up?
It's really an old song from the Iraqi culture that it's very well known. And I love it. I really just love it. The music is really good.
And can you tell us the name of it?
Yanabat al-Rehan.
يا نبعة الريحان خذ